today as we come to the table.
Either you put that on yourself or the enemy put it on you. And what you've got to determine is, why do I have this heavy load? Why am I carrying this burden? And this is where we have to learn to let it go and be free. And I know the same thing. We try to let it go and we bring it back, but we have to pray and say, God, help me let this go. And I find that for me anyway, it sometimes takes years to learn and really maturity to be able to let these burdens go and not pick them back up. We just learn to trust the Lord and we turn it over to him. But I don't want to discourage you with that, saying, great, thank you. Now I've got to carry this for years. No, the Lord can set you free of a burden instantly if you simply turn it over to him. And so it's learning to lay it at his feet. The hard part is keeping it there. And that's where the spiritual maturity comes in.
Find yourself constantly carrying a heavy burden? Maybe it's the pressure to perform or the need for people's approval. It weighs you down like a ton of bricks. Whatever it is, know that you don't have to carry those burdens. In fact, you're not meant to. You have a God who is more than willing and able to carry them for you. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches you to lay your burdens at Jesus' feet. Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you're constantly carrying a heavy load on your shoulders, then that burden isn't from Jesus. You've put that on yourself, or the devil has put it on you to weigh you down. Give your burdens to God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 5 as he begins his message, Sharing the Burdens.
Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Let's read this together, then we'll pray and we'll jump into the Word. Let's look at this together. It says, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Lord, I thank you that you're the one that carries our load, that you're the one that carries the burden. And Lord, I know this morning there are many in here that have brought burdens through these doors. Some of the burdens are light, some of the burdens are heavier, but people are carrying burdens. Your people are carrying burdens. And maybe some, Lord, that aren't your people yet, but that you're drawing in, that might even come to know you today, that are carrying burdens that you never intended them to carry. And Father, I thank you that you're more than able to carry those burdens. I thank you that you're the one, Lord, that is the lifter of our head. And I pray that as we look at your word today, God, you would minister not only to us individually in the burdens that we have, in lifting those burdens, letting those burdens go, but Lord, I pray that you would also show us and encourage us that how we can help others carry their burdens. So Lord, I pray now you would just open up your word to us, and I pray you would be the teacher this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at sharing burdens and sowing seeds, as I said, probably this week we'll just do sharing burdens, get into sowing the seeds next week, because again, burdens are something that we all share in common. We carry them. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that many of you are carrying burdens this morning that are heavy. And what is in my heart is to turn your eyes to the Lord and to minister to you in a way that God can minister to you and relieve you of your burdens that you have this morning. You know, it's interesting. Something I learned years ago, and it'll sound so basic when I say this, but it's so true. That is, we are always where we are. Now, that sounds fancy and deep, right? No, it doesn't. But the bottom line is, what I mean is, whenever we're reading the Bible individually, have you noticed that where you're reading the Bible, that's where you are in life, and God is ministering to you right there? Have you noticed that? And the same thing is true when it comes to us as a body of Christ. Wherever we are as a body, God always has us in the Word in that place. And that's why when we come to a place about burdens, here's what I know. Because we always are where we are, you're carrying burdens this morning. Again, some of the burdens are lighter, some of the burdens are very heavy, but the bottom line is God wants you to be able to release those burdens to him and to let them go. And I'll tell you, when it comes to burdens, there's something about them. I know for me anyway, it seems like if I have a burden, I understand the Bible says, let the burden go, let God carry the burden. It seems like when I try to lay the burden down at the Lord's feet, it's tied to my arms. And so when I bring my arms back, the burden comes with me. It's like I need something. Not only do I want to lay it at the Lord's feet, but I need God to set me free and to break my chains, if you will, so that I can walk free of that. And that's what I hope that God does for many of you today. We're going to give an opportunity for God to do that before we're done. Now, again, when it comes to burdens, some burdens are burdens that God wants us to carry. They're typically, we have our daily burdens. It might be the responsibility of taking care of the home or just simple things like that. And some burdens are the result of seeds that we planted long ago. And some burdens are burdens that we've given to ourselves. You know, we all carry different kinds of burdens in life. And while I said there are some that are ordained of God, they're temporary, usually temporary burdens between us and God alone, and God will help us carry those. But what we're going to see today is there's a lot of burdens that we carry that God hasn't put on us, and we need to learn how to let them go and then help other people carry them. And it's one thing for us to get to the place where we let the burdens go, but we also have to be able to minister to help others in their burdens as well. And again, how do we carry one another's burdens? Well, there's some simple basic things to begin with. Most of all, it usually comes in the form of encouragement in prayer. But it's not just encouragement in prayer. I mean, people come up and they say, Pastor Mark, can you pray? Can you do this? And they do the same thing with you, and you encourage them and you pray. But sometimes God will say, you know what? It's not enough just to encourage them and pray. You need to help them financially. Or maybe you need to help them in time. You know, it's interesting. When you talk about carrying someone's burden, a lot of times someone is coming out of a situation where they might need an extended amount of time to be ministered to in that burden to be free. And so what we're going to see today is God calls us to do that, to help each other in the family of God. And so when we're carrying a burden, again, whatever the burden might be, it's important that we understand that we're supposed to, number one, supposed to be carrying that burden and where the burden came from. Now, what do I mean by that? Notice what Jesus said about burdens. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, listen to what the Lord said. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, here's the verse I want you to focus on. Notice what he said. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice I stressed my. Why? Because what the Lord is saying is, the yoke that he gives to the believer will always be easy, and the burden that he gives the believer will always be light, which means if you're carrying a heavy yoke and a heavy burden this morning, here's my question. Where did you get it? Did God give you that burden? Jesus said his yoke was easy, his burden was light. Now, I know we all have temporary heavy burdens. Maybe someone you love dies. Maybe there's a situation where you're carrying something temporarily. That happens to every believer. But the context here that I'm talking about is as a lifestyle. If you are carrying a heavy yoke and a heavy burden as a lifestyle, this morning what I want you to do in your heart, because in order for you to be free, you need to see this and recognize it, who gave you that? Because if it's something that's extremely heavy that's weighing you down this morning, and no doubt because of where we are, some of you are in that place, either you put that on yourself or the enemy put it on you. And what you got to determine is, why do I have this heavy load? Why am I carrying this burden? And this is where we have to learn to let it go and be free. And I know the same thing, we try to let it go and we bring it back, but we have to pray and say, God, help me let this go. And I find that for me anyway, it sometimes takes years to learn and really maturity to be able to let these burdens go and not pick them back up. We just learn to trust the Lord and we turn it over to him. But I don't want to discourage you with that, saying, great, thank you, now I've got to carry this for years. No, the Lord can set you free of a burden instantly if you simply turn it over to him. And so it's learning to lay it at his feet. The hard part is keeping it there. And that's where the spiritual maturity comes in. And so the first thing we have to determine is, where did the burden come from? If it's the Lord, it'll be easy and light. If it's from ourselves or the enemy, it can sometimes be overwhelming. And if it's the enemy or ourselves, again, we turn that over to the Lord and let God deal with that. So again, let God set you free. Search your heart, search your mind. Why do you have your burden? And then let's begin to turn those burdens over to the Lord. As I said, I'll give you an opportunity at the end to be able to do that, even through a time of prayer. But notice what Paul says here, starting into chapter 6, verse 1. As we read that again, he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. Now, there's a lot to talk about here. Notice, first of all, he says, if you're overtaken in a trespass, which means a sin, and there's two words I want you to note here, the word overtaken and the word trespass. Overtaken literally means this, it's a surprise that is unintentional, note that. And secondly, trespass means to stumble on something by chance. What is my point? In other words, what he's saying here in this verse is, It's a sin that someone did not want to do. It took them by surprise. They weren't expecting it. They didn't want to do it. They weren't being stubborn. It simply happened. And when it happened, it was something that pulled them in and locked them in, and now they're trapped, but they don't want to be there. Now, some of you might say, that's me this morning. I found myself in a place where I didn't want to be. I didn't intend to be in this place, but now here I am, and I'm locked into this. Then this verse is for you. The Lord is saying, when this happens, it's not something you wanted to do, but something that took you by surprise, or that can take us by surprise, which explains why Paul says here we're to be gentle and compassionate and patient when dealing with someone like this, because it's not something they wanted to do. You know, it's easy to look at someone and say, you filthy sinner, look what you're doing, you know, and judge them, especially when it's somebody else that we're looking at rather than ourselves. But what he's saying is, no, realize there are many people that have gotten trapped in sin and been taken captive, not because they were being stubborn or wanted to be in it, and I'm not giving an excuse for it, but the bottom line is they stumbled into it because they didn't have the proper boundaries up. They didn't have the proper guidelines. They let their guard down. And I want to say, you know, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, if you don't keep your guard up, it's easy to get pulled back into things you don't want to be pulled into. As we said last week, one of the most discouraging things for me is I found when I gave my life to the Lord and I was born again, Mark still was very much alive in here. And now the two fight each other. There's Mark and there's the new nature. And they fight each other. And if I allow the new nature a lot of freedom, if I don't keep him bound and keep him under and let the Spirit live out what's supposed to be done outwardly and have control, then I'm right back in that place. And so this is the person that does that. They allow the inner person, the sinful person, not the spiritual person, if you will, to take over again. And now they're trapped in that sin. So Paul says, if you know someone like that, if you see a brother like that, then here's how do you restore them: with a spirit of gentleness. Now, first of all, notice this. Before we talk about the spirit of gentleness, what does the word restore mean? It means to put back in order or to restore to its former condition. It was used in the New Testament of mending nets. You remember the disciples mending their nets. They were putting them back in restoration, restored condition, so they would be effective again. It was used by the Greeks to speak of resetting a dislocated or a broken bone. Isn't that interesting? Resetting or fixing a broken bone, that is a compound fracture. You know, there's different kinds of breaks. You have the fracture, you know, the fracture of your bone or whatever. Then you have the compound fracture, the bone completely breaks and comes apart. This is what Paul is talking about. Someone that has a complete broken bone, if you will, that is in a spiritual sense, they're completely broken, and now they have to be reset, if you will, and we're to do that in a spirit of gentleness. It's interesting when you look at the way bones heal, and I've never broken a bone. The closest I ever got was my nose. And I think maybe I broke my nose. I'm not sure. But I know I had a bruise there, and it sure felt like it pretty bad for a while. But I was 4 years old. We lived in Maryville. And this is the closest I can get to it, so I'll share my story. There used to be a show on. I don't remember the name of it. I think the name of it was Rip Corps. But what it was this airplane. And all I remember as a four-year-old is these guys would jump out of planes and go, Rip Corps! And they go just, you know, and they pull the... It was great. As a kid, I loved it. You're jumping out of a plane. You got the parachute, the whole exciting thing. And I remember I wanted to run down to the basement and tell my mom all about the last episode of Rip Corps, whatever it was I was watching. And we had this downstairs basement that was a concrete floor with a coal stove down there and these old wooden steps. And as I'm running down there to go tell Mom, I didn't realize one of the nails, not the sharp part, but the dull part of the nail was sticking up out of the steps there. And as I ran down the steps, my sock got caught on it. But at the very same time, I'm yelling, Rip Corps! And I go flying down the steps. And I smashed face first down there on the bottom of the steps. You know, I mean, it could have really been bad. And I just remember my nose being really hurt and really bruised and all this. And Mom runs over to me. She says, Mark, are you okay? And I said, what happened? She said, I said, my chute didn't open. That was my honest answer. Now, why I said that as a four-year-old, I don't know. But that's the closest to a broken bone I've ever had. Those of you guys that have broken a leg, you've broken an arm, you've broken whatever, I don't know what that feels like. But I do know I've experienced seeing it. And I remember when Adiah, my oldest, was playing on this swings, this playset one time, and she broke her arm, and it was the worst thing. It's compound fracture, and I remember just seeing her arm dangle. I don't want to go into details. I don't like to think about it. And I paint pictures sometimes. I shouldn't paint, but either way, it's really bad. We go to the hospital, and I remember seeing her there with that broken arm, and I'm thinking, when this doctor comes in, I'm thinking, I sure hope that he just is so gentle with her. And I know she's probably thinking the same thing. Be gentle. And those of you that have a broken bone and the person comes in, you don't want the guy saying, hey, look, the real doctor's not here. It's my first day, but I'm going to do the best I can. You don't want that guy, right? You want somebody that's going to come in there and they're going to be able to, with a spirit of gentleness, reset that bone because you're already in enough pain. The last thing you need is somebody to add pain on top of the pain you're already in. Now, guys, listen, for us as believers, here's the spiritual application. When you have someone that you know and they've been taken by sin, they didn't mean to be taken captive in, and they're broken. We're saying this is something they didn't want to do, and they're truly broken. The last thing they need is you to run in there and yell at them and get in their face about how horrible they are. And see, I told you, and you never should have. You need to be gentle, and you need to be gracious. Now, here's the thing. you do have to reset the bone, don't you? So it doesn't mean you don't address the situation. For example, they come in and they're broken and they're just wiped out. You say, look, you know why this happened, right? Yes, I know. Okay, enough said on that. Don't do that again. God has shown you, you know, the consequence of that. But now let's get you restored. Let's pray. And you reset the spiritual bone and you pray. So you address the situation. You have to say maybe something that's a little bit painful, and you can't be doing that. And you reset that bone. There's going to be some pain involved in that. But it's very gentle. It's very to the point. You don't belabor it. And you say, now let's pray. How can I help you get your walk back to where it needs to be? How can I get you back on the path? And what's interesting about that is that it may take a while. There may be something where, you know, again, this is where we're to carry one another's burden. It may not be that that's going to heal overnight. Sometimes it's not just a prayer and a pat on the back. It's like, you know what? Here's my phone number. And if you want to call me in the middle of the night, you can call me. And maybe for the next few weeks, they really do. And you're thinking somebody's waking you up at 2 a.m. every time saying, man, I need somebody to pray with me right now, because if they don't pray with me, I'm going to go right back into that sin. You need to be the one that's there saying, I'll help you carry that burden. Let's pray. Now, that's not going to last forever. But what he's saying is we need to be those that gently restore them. And we need to be those that are going to be there and say, you know what? What can I do now to make sure you get back to full recovery? And just like you go back to the doctor and they check and make sure how the break is, and they put a cast on for a while, then they take the cast off and they go and they check you and all this stuff. What's interesting about bones too, again, I've never, as I said, ever had a broken bone, but it's my understanding that when you do have a broken bone and the area that it broke, when that compound fracture comes back together, it's stronger there than it was before it broke. Now, that's amazing to me. It doesn't mean the arm can't break again or the leg can't break again or that a person who's ever fallen can't fall again. What it means is it's going to be a lot harder to fall in that same place again if somebody sets the bone correctly. So if you have a brother or sister and they're trapped in sin and you go and you minister to them and you restore them and you reset that spiritual bone, the next time that temptation comes, they're going to be a lot more cautious about that. I can tell you, the next time I went down there to that basement, I made sure that I was watching for anything that could catch my socks. Because the last thing you want to do is go flying headfirst again into the same thing you did just the day before. So there's a real principle here. Some of us learn the easy way. Some of us learn the hard way. I'm one of those that typically learns the hard way. But the bottom line is that when God resets that bone, it's stronger than it was before. And so he says, again, do this not only in a spirit of gentleness, because you want somebody dealing with you and your pain very gently and very sweetly. But notice he says in the last part of verse 1, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. As I said, this is where we have to guard ourselves, because the second reason that we're to be gracious in how we deal with people that have stumbled into sin or whatever is that we might not be tempted as well. And it literally means to be put to the test. That is, tested even as they were tested. Here's the bottom line. We are made of the same stuff they are. We're all made of the same stuff each other's made of. And if we think that we can keep from falling just because we're the ones that are walking with the Lord currently, if we don't guard ourselves and we let our guard down, we may be the one that's broken and we may need to be the one that's restored. You know, I get reminded of this on a regular basis as a pastor, because I'll see ever so often, and there was one here recently, another pastor falls, and you see these pastors that fall and you know they love God. They love God. They've loved God. They've served God for many, many years. God's used them in great ways. The fruit in their life and their ministry is tremendous. And all of a sudden now they're gone because they fall in some sin. And you realize, you know what? I could do that too. What keeps me from falling into that? It's simply recognizing, number one, that I'm made of the same stuff they are, and then making sure that I watch my walk with God and guard myself from opening up avenues where I could be pulled into the same thing they got pulled into. You know, sin is something that happens very gradually. We don't typically wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go do this sin today. Unless we're already living that way. We typically wake up and we start compromising. A little bit here, a little bit there, and next thing you know, we're pulled in, we're trapped. And so we have to guard ourselves and make sure that we're not, going to do the same thing, because it does a number of things. One is it keeps us humble to realize that we too could be pulled into this, and it helps us to deal with others that have been pulled into it very gently in dealing with them, because we recognize that we are, again, we have the same weaknesses. You know, it's interesting. I'm not proud of my past, and I'm not going to go into it, but my past is not really pretty, and some of us have different pasts. I wish I had one of those testimonies where I always knew the Lord. I grew up, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was like, you know, a month old, and I followed him ever since then, you know, or whatever. I wish that was my testimony. That's not my testimony. My testimony is a lifetime of horrible darkness and sin up until I was 25, and then repentance and brokenness, and God restored me. That's my testimony. And although I wish I had that kind of testimony, I don't have that kind of testimony. But the bottom line is that now, because of that, there is one benefit. There's no benefit to it otherwise. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's beneficial to live a life of sin. It only brings destruction. But one way God has used it is that now I understand those that are deeply in dark sin. And when people come up to me and they say, Pastor Mark, I've got to share something, and I'm afraid you're going to think I'm horrible. I'm like, you have no idea. I doubt there's anything you could say that would be any worse than anything I've ever done. And I'm not going to compare sins. My point is, let's just pray together. Let me help you with that burden. Let's take it to the Lord. I understand sin. I've been right in the middle of it more than I'd like to admit. Let's pray together. And that's where we carry one another's burdens. We link arms and we say, you know what? Let's go to the throne. Let's let God cleanse us. Let's God forgive us. And let's move on. So you restore with a spirit of gentleness and you consider yourself lest you be tempted as well. Notice he goes on in verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I love this. He speaks of a law connected to Christ when the whole point of the book of Galatians is to get away from the law. And we'll explain that in just a moment. But notice right after talking about restoring those overtaken in sin, he makes reference to bearing one another's burdens. Why so? Because when we reach out to help a brother or a sister to be free from sin, as I said, they often need some degree of help beyond that. And this is where sometimes it can be a burden, whether it's answering that phone in the middle of the night or maybe meeting them for a few weeks at Starbucks for a cup of coffee and to talk about the situation, to pray them through it, to encourage them through it, to share scripture. You know, being there to carry that burden. Again, this isn't something that goes on forever, but we need to be there to help them through the midst of it. We've got to be there to strengthen them while they're struggling through the midst of this burden that they're carrying. Again, which may seem slightly burdensome to us for a while, but by reaching out and helping them carry the burden, we're lightening their load. It makes it easier. It's a lot easier to carry with two guys than it is one. When I was younger, you know, I don't know what it is about guys. Maybe it's this, you know, macho thing or something. We want to, you know, it's like there'd be something there that really is heavier than we should carry, but we can carry it. So we don't ask for any help. You know, set it down on water. Put that car over there. There you go. There's your car. Enjoy your car, whatever. There's something about it, especially when you're younger. You find that as you get older, you don't care so much about being able to lift that by yourself. I look at things now and I go, I could carry that by myself, but I won't. Hey, grab that end, right? Because the older you get, things start breaking when you start carrying it by yourself. Things don't last the way they used to. And so the bottom line is, here's the principle. The reason we help each other is there may be even a burden this morning that you can handle on your own. You're a tough guy. But you know what? Has God really called you to do that? Hey, grab the other side of this. How do you get somebody to grab the other side? Hey, man, can I talk to you? Yeah, about what? Listen, I just need some prayer. Now, let me say this. If it's a private, intimate thing, find somebody trustworthy. Find somebody faithful. Find somebody that's not going to run to the next guy and say, well, you ought to hear what Mark's going through. He's got his struggles. I've got mine. Mine's gossip. Now, here's his. His struggle is, you know, you're like, why'd you tell everybody that? So don't go to somebody that you know is going to just go to everybody, all right? The bottom line is find somebody faithful you can trust and say, you know what? Now, it may not be private, so you can let everybody put it on the prayer chain if it's not private. But if it's private, find someone that you trust and say, you know what? Pray with me on this. You know, I'm struggling in that area. I need help right here. And then be open to their counsel, be open to them ministering, be open, receive that prayer, work together. Because even if you could, with God's help, get through it by yourself, it's a lot easier. And I'll tell you, I think there's a lot more wisdom. You know, one thing about getting older is that you see wisdom in helping other people carry things. It's interesting watching these guys that get old in basketball. And of course, they're not really that old in relation to age, but in basketball, I remember seeing Shaq, you know, when I'm getting around 30 years old or whatever, and this guy weighs like a gazillion pounds and he's gigantic, right? And you see him, and used to when he was younger, I'd watch him, and he was always just slamming everything, and the whole building shakes and whatever. He got older, I watched him. The last couple of years he played, he was just as effective, but he played smart.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Galatians, where we find many practical warnings for the church today. The Church of Galatia had fallen prey to false teachings and adopted a very legalistic approach to their ministry. This news had gotten back to Paul, who was quick to pen the letter we read here and help them see the error of their ways. This experience made an impression on Paul and was added to the agenda for the upcoming meeting of the Jerusalem Council. This was such an impactful time for the early church that its example is used even now when dealing with issues of legalism. We hope as you've listened today, you've gained some direction in your life as well. Thanks for tuning in, and we'd like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15, and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to bring the whole family. Every time we gather is an opportunity to grow in what you're learning and experiencing with God. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. Well, we're out of time for today, but we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Galatians next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.